Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, where we help you help yourself with your health. Our topic today is digestive health, handle with care. And joining us is Dr. Sarah Selick. Dr. Sarah has a bachelor's degree in health science from the University of Western Ontario, is a graduate of the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. Dr. Sarah is a regular contributor to both online and print publications and is a regular guest on both radio and television. Good morning, Dr. Sarah, and welcome back to Insights for Health.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on the show again.
So our digestive health plays a major role in the quality of our overall health, doesn't it?
It sure does. I always say to my patients, I say it all starts with digestion. So regardless of what they're coming in for, I'd say 9 times out of 10, that's where we start.
Okay, so you start there and then you eliminate that first and then you start going on to other areas.
We always address digestive health because it's so critical for overall health. For immune health, for mental health, for energy. There's so many different aspects of our health that are affected by digestion. So I would say it's step one with any health program. You want to make sure that your digestive system is functioning and working optimally.
So what are we going to do today, Doctor? And as you and I have discussed, we're going to go through the entire digestive system sort of piece by piece and what we can do to optimize our digestion. So in regards to that, I've heard it said that digestion begins before we take the first bite. Is that true?
It sure is. So when we start cooking, when we smell food, when we start thinking about food, even when you start thinking, I wonder what I'm going to make for dinner tonight, that's when you start to salivate and you start the production of enzymes, particularly salivary enzymes. And this is essentially where digestion begins. So I talk to patients about the importance of chewing their food well, because digestion starts when we think about food, when we smell food, and it really, really begins with chewing.
So yeah, in that chewing, I mean, as we increase the surface area, right? I mean, that's basically what we're doing, but there's also enzymes happening in our mouth.
Yeah, so we're breaking down essentially starches into smaller molecules. And I think what we're seeing now is people are on the go, they're rushing, they're eating quite quickly, and they're not chewing their food well enough. So we want the food to essentially be partially digested before it even enters the stomach. But people aren't really spending enough time chewing, and I think that this is probably leading to more digestive issues than we would see if people were slowing down and really taking the time to chew their food well.
And then there's the enzyme amylase in our saliva, right?
Yes, so salivary amylase, once again, that's where we start with breaking down our carbohydrates.
So then down the esophagus, down the pipe, anything happening there, doctor?
Not so much. I mean, there's a muscle-like movement that's occurring. It's called peristalsis, and that's essentially our body's amazing way of moving food from the mouth down the esophagus and into the stomach. So once again, if we chew our food well, our body isn't going to have to work as hard to get that food to move through that long tube.
And that peristalsis also works through the intestines, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So the food's now delivered to the stomach. What happens?
Well, that takes about 11 seconds. So when you're chewing your food and then you swallow your food, it takes about 11 seconds for it to move through the esophagus. And then at the end of the esophagus, there's a valve. It's called the esophageal sphincter. And what happens is this valve opens, so it is a one-way valve because we don't want the contents of the stomach to come back up into the esophagus. That can, of course, lead to heartburn and a lot of discomfort. So the food will essentially move through that valve and enter the stomach. And I always say the stomach is like a storage tank where there's a lot of mixing happening. So the body is working really hard to essentially break down food into smaller components.
So that's where the acids and also stomach enzymes are being released. And the muscles of the stomach, too, are doing that churning and moving it around. Is that correct?
You got it. So the gastric secretions that we often hear about, like hydrochloric acid, again, all of this is taking place in the stomach, as the stomach is where most of the mixing and churning is occurring to produce something called chyme.
Yeah, so then now people can have issues with their stomach when they're having a meal. What can they do?
First off is food choices. certain foods are definitely easier to digest. You know, for my patients, if they're having issues with heartburn or acid reflux, I often encourage them to minimize fried foods, minimize fatty foods, try to avoid eating really fast, but also really large meals. So as much as we love going to the buffet, sometimes we overeat. So I encourage them to eat smaller meals. And then other things too, like even caffeine can really irritate or aggravate individuals who do have heartburn or acid reflux.
So again, we can assist with different enzymes too, can't we?
We can. Digestive enzymes are available, so they can always look for an enzyme that has a variety of enzymes. So we like to call them multi-enzyme formulas, similar to a multivitamin where you're getting a variety of nutrients. Multi-enzyme formulas will provide you with the enzymes to help you break down carbohydrates, fats, and protein.
So from the stomach, this chyme, this mixture is going to exit the stomach, and that's through the pyloric sphincter, correct?
That's correct, yep.
And then now it's into the small intestine. So there's three parts to that. The first one's the duodenum. What happens there, doctor?
So when we're thinking about the chyme, first off, let's consider how long it takes for this to happen. So depending, again, on how much a person has had to eat or even what they've had to eat, the stomach is going to break down food into chyme. This can take, you know, maybe 40 minutes, or it could even take a few hours. And then once food moves through that valve, this is where nutrients are going to be absorbed. So you mentioned the three different parts of the small intestine. When we're looking at the function of the small intestine, essentially we're looking at the absorption of these nutrients. So with the duodenum, which is essentially located just below the stomach and slightly to the right, it's preparing this digested food for the rest of the digestive process. And there are more fluids that are now going to be secreted. So, for example, bile will come from the stored in the gallbladder, but it comes from the liver. And there are other enzymes from the pancreas. So this is all going to help with breaking down the chyme even further with one goal. We want nutrients to be extracted, and we want these nutrients to be absorbed.
So this is like a chemical digestion, is it?
Yeah, you can call it that for sure.
Now, in the small intestines, do probiotics work there?
Probiotics. So when we refer to probiotics, there are certain probiotics that will populate the small intestine and certain probiotics that will populate the large intestine. So normally when we're talking about lactobacillus or lactobacilli species or strains, these are going to essentially be found mostly in the small intestine. When we're talking about Bifidobacterium, we're often referring to the bacteria that is found or that lives in the large intestine or the colon.
So with the pancreas also then adding digestive enzymes, and they also add hormones to this chyme as well, doesn't it?
Yes. So we're usually focused on the digestive enzymes such as, again, amylase, lipase, protease to help with the digestion of fat, starches, and proteins, especially because people who are experiencing digestive issues, maybe they're experiencing gas or bloating or abdominal pain, they can actually find these enzymes in supplement form to help with the breakdown of food and to really assist with optimal digestion.
So with the digestion then of foods, And the absorption of nutrients, sugars, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, etc., all being absorbed in, or the majority of those being absorbed in the small intestines. There's also things being absorbed that we don't want. Is that correct?
Yes, this is where, you know, I love talking and educating Canadians on toxins and all the chemicals and toxins that we're exposed to, because we want nutrients to be absorbed in the small intestine. But you're absolutely right. There are so many unwanted elements that can also be absorbed in the small intestine. And I think it's also important to mention that because of stress, because of lifestyle and the typical lifestyle, damage is being done to the lining of the small intestine, which is actually compromising the barrier and allowing things into the bloodstream that we really don't want in the bloodstream.
And then there's different diseases that can occur in the small intestine. Can you just touch on a few of those, doctor, and something for us to be aware of?
Absolutely. So I think that there are a number of conditions that people are starting to hear about more. So celiac disease is one example. It's quite serious. It's an autoimmune condition. And essentially, those individuals, when they're consuming foods that contain gluten, this is damaging the small intestine further. Individuals with inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's disease, this is again considered a condition that does affect the small intestine. It can affect many different parts of the GI tract, but the small intestine being one of them, and it can lead to inflammation, abdominal pain. So I've had patients who lose a lot of weight. They have chronic diarrhea. So very serious condition. Infection. So we're starting to hear more about SIBO, or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Once again, an issue with the small intestine. So there are a range of conditions and a range of health concerns that people are affected with, and many of them, as you mentioned, do occur in the small intestine.
Yeah, and in our second part of our show, doctor, I'd like to get into some of the things that we can do to be proactive and prevent some of those things. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on digestive health, handle with care.